are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of that natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck with you, second and fourth Friday of the month, right here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's 1570 AM in Doylestown, Philadelphia, and 1420 Coatesville, Chester County area. Blessed to be here today on Friday, June 22nd. It's a live program today. I was actually in Fargo, North Dakota for second Friday, so I did a retreat out there with the King's Men, and it was a tremendous experience for me. First time in North Dakota. What a beautiful state that is. Wow, if you've never had a chance to be out in the Dakotas, they're just it's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. Not a lot of people, but God's country for sure. So nonetheless, about me and 37 other men had a time with God on his beautiful plantation there, and we discovered amazing things about ourselves as men and men's ministry and the men's work that we're trying to do in discipling others, and great, great opportunity. I actually bunked with the grandfather of the second round draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert. I bunked with his grandfather. Didn't even know who he was until he shared with me. So that was kind of a neat experience to be with him and to break bread with him. And it was a beautiful time. But nonetheless, came back, flew back on Sunday, actually got canceled my flight in Chicago. Had to stay the night over in Chicago, made it back on Monday, the 11th of June. So here we are back in Pennsylvania and on at the studio here on the airwaves live, talking today on this feast of St. Paulinus of Nola and also St. John Fisher and Thomas More. What a great day, a feast day in the church. These wonderful saints, especially John Fisher and Thomas More, both dying at the hands of King Henry there, Henry VIII, right? Am I right on that? Someone call in if I'm wrong. And dealing with the issue of marriage. It's really, he's a martyr for marriage, Thomas More and John Fisher. And I want to talk today about marriage on this radio program, but I want to invoke Saints John Fisher, Thomas More, and St. Paulinus of Nola, their intercession as we begin our time together. And we just ask them to pray for us, to intercede for us, especially as we talk about dealing with difficult marriages. And I've walked with a lot of men in this Apostle of the King's Men who deal with difficult marriages and difficult spouses and themselves dealing with difficult issues. And I want to bring up a topic that would not normally be talked about here at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to talk about spousal abuse, verbal abuse specifically. And again, I've walked with a lot of men who've been the recipient of that verbal abuse. Of course, there's verbal abuse on the other side, you know, a man, husband being abusive to his wife verbally as well. But I want to give perspective to men who deal with this and how I've kind of ministered to them and bring it up today as a topic of consideration and reflection. And perhaps you can see yourself in the lens of what I'll be sharing, or maybe you're a recipient, a victim of some of the things I'll be talking about. So let's coat this program in prayer. Let's call upon Our Lady's perpetual help and invoke her with a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So we will be drawing on the gospel today at Mass for some insight as to this topic. But before I dive into the program about marriage today and dealing with difficult marriages, I want to talk about our recent Into the Wild in Sholo, Arizona. It was our 44th Into the Wild. We had about 55 men drive up and fly in to the cool white mountains of northeast Arizona. And I have to share with you that two miracles have been confirmed coming out of this retreat. We've had many transformations, many conversions, and those are miraculous in and of themselves. But two confirmed miracles coming out of this retreat. And I know this because I've talked to the men who've been the beneficiary of these miracles. And one of them I work with closely. Okay, so our chef on the weekend, if you've ever been to an Into the Wild retreat, you know we have great food. And we always have an executive chef with us. Outdoor experiential retreat with great food. No different this time around. The 44th one, over 4,000 men have come to these retreats. This particular chef, his name is Paul. I didn't know much about him. He was recommended to me. He came highly recommended, but I didn't know he had stage 4 cancer. In fact, I didn't know until after the retreat. He had been diagnosed in 2012 with stage 4 cancer, and his doctors told him that he would never hear the words cancer-free or remission. On May 1st this year, he was informed by his doctors that the cancer had spread through his body. I believe it was lung cancer he has. That the cancer had spread all throughout his body and, in his words, was rampaging. So he didn't have a good prognosis. His son came and served on the weekend, and Paul later told me that he thought it might be the last weekend he'd have with his son in this capacity. And nonetheless, I didn't know this. The man served with a wonderful spirit all weekend and gave us great food. And on Sunday or Monday morning, he texted me that, you know, cancer was getting the upper hand and chemo, and he felt like he claimed it back from the weekend. So that was all I heard from him after the weekend and till Wednesday that week. What you need to know is that the Franciscan Friars of the Holy Spirit, who were our chaplains for the weekend, we had five novices and six total friars, one priest friar with us. And this order was invited to come out to the Diocese of Phoenix by Bishop Thomas Olmsted. And they emerged out of the TORs, the Third Order Regular Friars, Franciscans. They're the ones that are at Franciscan University in Steubenville and St. Francis University in Pennsylvania. Anyhow, they kind of branched off and started a new order, which is Franciscan. Anyhow, they have a charism for healing and deliverance. They were with us last year and did amazing things. I've talked about on the radio about the healing of our family trees. They did a mass for that, and just a lot of wonderful insights into father blessing the children and what you deal with that, with generational healing when a father hasn't blessed a child. And I've talked about it on the airwaves. You can go back to the archives to see some of those programs. But what happened on this weekend was very special. They did a bit of a healing mass on Saturday night where they invited every mass is a healing mass in a sense, but specifically they were going to pray over with the relic of Saint Charbel after or before the final blessing. I think it was after the final blessing. And they just prayed over every person that wanted to come up, and it was just a beautiful, simple, wonderful prayer experience. Well, all of us, you know, were there, got prayed over, nonetheless, I'm sharing that with you because through the hands of these wonderful friars and through the great grace and providence of the divine physician, Paul emailed me on Wednesday following the retreat. And this is like June 6th, following our May 31st to June 3rd retreat. And he said, I know you have many conversions and transformation stories coming out of your retreats. I can see that, but you can add a miracle to your list. And he proceeded to tell me that his doctors declared him cancer-free. Now, remember, on May 1st, the cancer was spreading all throughout his body, and he never was going to hear the words cancer-free. His doctors on that Wednesday following the retreat declared him cancer-free. So what a miracle. What a praise the Lord. What a gift to this man who freely gave of himself, who died to himself, as Father Larry Richards was talking about, for the service of these 55 men and the service of his son, and reconciling his life and trying to get his house in order, the Lord has granted him deliverance from this cancer. And it's a miracle. It truly is. I wanted to share that with you, the wonderful news of that. And also a man who's working with me pretty closely now, Justin Harper, who is out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's working with the King's Men now as of May 1st. He has a really severe gluten sensitivity. I would say borderline celiac disease. If you're familiar with anyone with celiac disease, my sister has it, my mother has it, my nieces have it. It's not an easy thing to deal with. Your diet changes drastically. You can't eat anything with wheat in it. So a lot of things have wheat in it. Even the Eucharist, Justin couldn't take. He couldn't take the bread of life. Of course, he'd have to avoid beer, any bread, any donuts, all the things that we take for granted that a lot of us just chow on without thinking. He asked the friars to pray over him and to have deliverance from this gluten issue. And he emailed me or texted me after the weekend and said, I've had a croissant, I've had a beer, I've had the Eucharist, and I don't have a problem. And he's continued to not have a problem. He actually took donuts to his men's group out there and shared donuts with the guys as almost like a living example of the miracle. So praise the Lord. Praise be to God. God is just so good, so infinite in his mercy and kindness and generosity to his children. What a loving father that he is to take care of his men and his children, his sons. On the mountain in Sholo, Arizona. It was a unique retreat because we couldn't do bonfires. We couldn't do fire because all the forest, you couldn't even enter the forest in Arizona because of the fire restrictions and the drought and rain that they've had. It's just a real hazard. So the retreat was very unique in that regard too. But I wanted to share those wonderful stories because anybody that supports the King's Men or you know about the King's Men, you know the work that we do, and it's just great to share a glory story. And I wanted to start the program today by sharing that glory story, and hopefully that inspires you, and you feel the love of Christ through those stories, as I do. And just a wonderful gift that God is always performing his miracles, and are we paying attention that the same miracles that he performed when he walked the face of the earth over 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today. He's still doing today. Are we paying attention? Do we see them? Do we see them in our lives? Perhaps the greatest miracles are those inner healings. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, these inner healings of the heart, especially as it relates to marriage. And as I was thinking about this program today and what I wanted to talk with, and my guest said they couldn't make it, Bill Rose, we'll have him on another time, Joyful Films. But I was thinking about, I'd like to talk about the times I've walked with men in dealing with difficult marriages and the issue of verbal abuse in marriages. Now, again, this goes both ways. But I want to speak to it from the lens of men who have been wounded and are being wounded by strong women who have a sharp tongue, I guess, and are smart, intelligent, and perhaps, per the words of the men that I've been ministering to, have some mental illness at times, this can be very difficult to deal with. And if you read the Magnificat and you have this month's Magnificat, every saint in the Magnificat, the meditations, are about saints who've experienced violence in the family. Now, some of these saints, it was a physical violence. Other saints, it was more of a emotional violence, psychological warfare kind of, but saints who suffered violence in the family. And I encourage a recent brother in the Lord to read these saints in the month of June and call upon them as patrons, because a lot of them are very obscure saints. We've never heard of them, some of us, whereas more popular ones like Saint Rita of Cascia, we've heard of, but there's saints in here that perhaps people aren't even aware of. And I love that Magnificat draws our attention to some of these saints to intercede for us, to ask for their intercession. And so I encouraged this one brother very recently to do just that, to find a friend in heaven who can relate to verbal traumas and abuse and things like that. So as I've walked with these men, and again, this program's about authentic masculinity, as I walk with these men and help them navigate, I often remind them, and this is, goes for women too, who are, you know, verbally traumatized by men, that when we get married, we have to remind ourselves that our vows consisted of taking a pledge, a commitment, making a covenant of love to our spouse, right, through that great sacrament, and doing it in sickness and in health. And I always remind them that you did take this vow, right, that you would love this person through sickness and health, good times and bad, right? You know how it goes. And I don't do that to shame them. I just do that to remind them. And I say, if it's the spouse, the man or the woman, in this case, the man, I'd say, your wife is sick. And when she abuses you, you have to think of it as not her abusing you, but her disease or sickness or illness. That's what's speaking. And you really have to filter that. Now, it's very hard. These men feel like victims, as a woman would. They're very vulnerable. They're very fragile. They're very emotionally just very traumatized. And living in that for a long time, years, it's easy for me to be objective, isn't it? It's easy for me to say those things. But these are words that they should hear, that you just can't walk away. You just can't. I remember one man came to our apostolate about 6-7 years ago. And before we go to the first break, I'll share this story quickly. This man came to our apostolate, and he was a victim of abuse from his spouse. And he wanted our men's ministry, because that's how he found us, to kind of offer support to him as he would navigate through the divorce process. But we didn't offer that to him, and we challenged him to stay in his marriage and stay in the fire and allow his wife to sanctify him, as hard as it is to walk with humility, to ask God for perseverance and courage. His wife got diagnosed with cancer within the year. He actually put papers in for divorce, and we encouraged him to revoke those papers, and he did. His wife got cancer within that year and was dead in less than a year from that diagnosis. This man wanted to run from his wife, to flee, because he wanted to preserve himself. And he was getting a lot of counsel from that to do that. But look at the great gift, which was that final perseverance with his wife and being able to be there with her, to serve her in her dying days, to minister to her. That she actually had a bit of a conversion and change of heart in that process. And what a gift that was to that man. Although he wishes his wife didn't die, if he had run, he would not have been able to be there for her in the way that he was, in the, you know, the intimate setting that he was as a spouse. He wouldn't have been able to benefit from the graces that would have been flowing through that terminal illness and dying process. And I'm simply sharing this with you, that we never know the reason why things are happening. And we want to preserve ourselves. And I think Father Larry Richards was really hitting it hard right before I came into the studio today, saying, you know, it's the measure of your love. Right? Don't become a deacon if you don't love your family. Don't be a ministry if you can't say the word, I love you. Tell your spouse you love them. Tell your children you love them. And what is our definition of love? When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about Thomas More's definition of love. We're going to talk about God's definition of love. And then our own definition of love. And how for many of us, through our own finiteness and our broken nature, love is a feeling. And Father Larry was quick to say, forget the feelings. The cross was not a feeling. There was not good feelings on the cross. Christ didn't feel good. So if his measure of love and his understanding of love was about feelings, he never would have done what he did. So when we come back, we'll dive into dying to self and feelings, especially when we're dealing with difficult marriages. Stay tuned.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
The Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition Celebrate Life 5K Run and 2K Walk will be held Saturday, June 23rd at Peace Valley Park, Doylestown, Pennsylvania. You'll be able to register that day at 7:30 a.m. or register in advance at pretzelcitysports.com. A nominal fee applies. Adults 13 and older are $30 and children 5 to 12 are $20. Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition Celebrate Life 5K Run, 2K Walk, Saturday, June 23rd, Peace Valley Park, Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Welcome back. Okay, we're talking about difficult marriages today. I'm Mark Houck, your host here at Holy Spirit Radio, the Kingsmen radio program live, June 22nd, Feast of John Fisher and Feast of John Fisher and Thomas More Paulinus of NOLA. We have two wonderful men who died for marriage, who martyrs for marriage in the towers in London, beheaded, Thomas More and St. John Fisher. There's their definition of love, willing to give it all, right? No greater love is a man than this, and lay down his life for a friend. All Thomas More had to do was submit to the king, his friend's wishes to marry another woman, to commit adultery, right? That's essentially what it was. He wanted to marry another woman, but he was already given in marriage to another woman, and Thomas could not, in good conscience, submit to that. And of course, that brought the Anglican split from the Catholic Church, and ushered in, you know, that division that we had at that time. But Thomas More knew that the witness to love that he was offering to his family, and his daughter did not understand why he was doing this. Why couldn't he just agree to what the King Henry wanted? But Thomas said he could not. He could not, for love of God, because love of God trumps all human relationships and love. That comes first. And I think when we're dealing with difficult marriages, we have to receive, let's say our spouse is abusing us, whether husband to wife or wife to husband, we have to be fed through the love of God in those situations. Because if we start saying, I deserve better than this, I don't deserve this, this language is all very selfish, right? I deserve better. I need to love myself. Well, there's a therapist who counseled one of the men I minister to, saying, love. You can't love somebody through mental illness. And I had to take pause in that. You can't love somebody through mental illness. Well, who's going to love those people? I don't. Maybe he means don't enable them. I get that. But really? You can't love somebody through mental illness? Of course you can. Does God not love people with mental illness? Of course he does. Can you love somebody through mental illness? Yes, you can. You can be Christ to them. And the only way you can be Christ to them is because you're seeking your affirmation and love through the divine. And this is why difficult marriages and any marriage and any human relationship can work when people fail us. Because people always are going to fail us. My wife is going to fail me and I'm always going to fail her. I'm a fallible person. I'm a sinner. I'm always going to make mistakes and do things wrong at times. And so is she. And if I'm holding her to a standard of perfection whereby she cannot hurt me or she shouldn't hurt me, and then I'm wounded by that because I want all my fulfillment to be from her and vice versa, of course I'm going to start saying things like, well, I deserve better or you should do better. These are very self-serving thoughts. And I think when marriages go south, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, and I'm not trying to say I've walked a mile in anybody's shoes listening today. I'm simply saying, objectively speaking, if God is our first love, as Fulton Sheen said, three to get married, If God is our first love and we receive that love daily, whether through communion, whether through prayer, whether through just being in relationship with the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit together, receiving that love on a daily basis and getting affirmed that way, that you can handle anything, because that's where your greatest joy lies. But if our greatest joy is in how my spouse makes me feel, and hopefully your spouse makes you feel really good, like that would be good, right? That would be a healthy marriage, and they're giving to you, they're serving you. As Father Larry said, you must serve one another. The wife has to serve the husband, and the husband has to die for the wife. And this is why marriages don't work. And this is why there are many annulments today, because people get married not understanding that. They get married to a concept, to an idea, to a thought, to a hope, to a plan, to a nuptial agreement, which is nothing to do with the sacrament of matrimony. The sacrament of matrimony is your call to holiness. It's your vocation. It's the way God will be communicating to you, his children, his son, his daughter, and where he will dispense his primary grace to you will be through your marriage. You see, it's not about a feeling. It's about dying to what feels good for the good of the other, right? To say, I don't need to feel a certain way. I just need to love. I need to be Christ. And when your spouse is abusing you verbally, you don't feel very loving. And I'm not saying physical abuse, okay? I'm not going there at all. If you're getting physically abused, you need to get out of that relationship and protect yourself, right? I'm not saying you get divorced. I'm just saying you need to protect yourself. But when we're talking about passive aggressiveness in marriage and unkind words being spoken, we have great friends in the saints who lived, you know, Monica's husband was not the greatest of husbands, Augustine's father. St. Rita of Cassia's husband was not the greatest of husbands. And yet these women stayed in their marriage. And there are men who have had difficult situations. And this particular man that I was ministering this week was telling me how he needs to protect his children. And he needs to. He should. And I'm not dismissing that. But he also needs to love his wife. And I don't know how you do that. But I said, you do love people through mental illness. You don't enable them. But you love them. You be Christ to them. You set boundaries. But you also speak to yourself and say, this is the illness, not my wife, not the woman I married. And maybe she was mentally ill when you married her. I don't know. But let's say this, something evolved. Maybe she's postpartum. Maybe there was a depression. Maybe something traumatic happened to her after you got married. And maybe she has PTSD. I don't know. Those are all mental, you know, cognitive illnesses and impairments that could affect someone's ability to treat others with kindness. Now, treating others with kindness is very important, and it's essential that spouses speak kindly to one another. Very essential. However, it doesn't always happen. And that doesn't mean you have a bad marriage. It doesn't mean you have a great marriage, but it doesn't mean you have a bad marriage. It's just an area for you to grow, and it's an opportunity for sanctification. And I don't always like the way my wife speaks to me, and I'm sure she doesn't always like the way I speak to her. And sometimes through our day and through our journey through life, we have bad days. And sometimes we say very hurtful things. And it's very easy to say, I don't deserve this, or I don't love you anymore. And these are all things that the devil wants us to say. Because the devil wants to split up marriages. The devil wants to drive a wedge between you and your spouse. And if you're dealing with a difficult spouse and a verbally unkind wife or husband, it's easy to say, and I don't blame you, it's easy to say, I deserve better. It is easy to say that. But that's what the devil wants you to say. He wants you to start thinking, me, I. And when I counsel men, I say, I always have to go back to that marriage vow. You said, and I witnessed it, that you would love her in sickness and health, in good times and bad. Well, here's the bad times, and here's the sick times. Are you going to love her? And, you know, again, I'm not trying to shame anybody or make them feel bad, but this is what you committed to. When you committed to marriage, you didn't commit to everything being roses. The church in her wisdom laid it all out. Let's say your spouse gets injured in a car accident and is a quadriplegic or she's a paraplegic. You have to love that person. You got to become a caregiver. That's not what you wanted. That's not what you hoped for. But it happened. And you must love. And you must die to what feels good to you and self. It's not your opportunity to leave the marriage, although many people do that. It's not your opportunity to neglect your spouse, although many people do that. It's your opportunity to love. What's your definition of love? St. Teresa of Avila would say, look at a cross. You want to know what true love is? You look at a cross. Measure your love with your spouse. When your spouse is beating you up verbally, not saying physically now, emotionally, you know, just doing warfare with you and psychologically really doing a number on you, you need to look at a cross. You need to go to a cross and unite that. I know it sounds trite. I know it sounds easy. It's not easy. You have to do it, though. You have to go to the source of love when you're not being loved by your spouse. You got to allow yourself to be loved by Jesus. By that, I mean you must go to daily mass, probably, and can receive that daily bread just to have the strength and fortification to return love or to absorb that negativity in a way that's not going to become toxic to you. Why? Because if Jesus is within you and dwelling within you, those will bounce more easily off of you. But if you're just depleted, you're depleted of that grace, and you're depleted of true love. God is love, says St. John in his epistle. God is love. You're depleted of love, and you're not going to the ultimate source of love and love incarnate, Jesus. Yeah, of course. That's going to feel terrible. And you're going to be like, I got to get out of this situation. Divorce is my answer. Did you know in canon law that it's in the canon that anyone that seeks a divorce must get permission from their bishop? Did you know that? Do most people do that? Of course not. Right, because we have no-fault divorce. Ronald Reagan said that this was his biggest regret in life, that he ushered in no-fault divorce when he was governor of California, and it pretty much set the precedence throughout the rest of the union. This is one of his greatest regrets, and I agree. This is a regret that we can do this in our state based on feelings. But the sacrament of matrimony is not a feeling. It's a sacrament. It's an outward sign instituted by God, Christ himself, to transmit grace. And every time your spouse is abusing you verbally, not physically, I have to be clear on that because I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. It's an opportunity for grace, to love unconditionally, to die to self, to not absorb those words and claim them for yourselves, but to say, that is the illness of my spouse speaking. Let's say your spouse is an alcoholic and they say mean and awful things when they're drunk. Is that the alcoholism speaking, or is that really your spouse speaking? That's the alcoholism speaking. It's the disease, the addicted person. When someone's addicted, they are, I have to say, their culpability is diminished to a degree because they're addicted. They have a disease. They have a sickness. So people's culpabilities in those instances are diminished. I'm not saying they're removed. So in the good and merciful God who sees all of that and knows all those things, you must also be asked God to give you the grace and the courage to like see that as well. That this is not to depersonalize it. When someone's hurting and wounded, they lash out. To hold them hostage to the things that they might say when they're hurting. You know, I remember as a kid when I got hurt, I think I cursed once in front of my mother. And my mother didn't chastise. I might have said, you know, nothing really scandalous, but nonetheless, I cursed. I think I might have been 14 or 15 years old, and maybe I stubbed my toe or I hurt myself or something, hit my finger with a nail, a hammer or something. And I said something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I said that in front of my mom, and my mom, is she going to chastise me? No, she filtered it because it was a reaction. It was a reaction to the hurt and the trauma and the injury. So sometimes when these things are knee-jerk reactions, it's not like premeditative. Your culpability is diminished, right? I mean, is it a mortal sin because maybe I took the Lord's name in vain when I got injured? Probably not, because it was a reaction. Now, it could become a bad habit, and then, of course, I am guilty of allowing this to become a bad habit. But nonetheless, take it at face value. It may not have been a mortal sin for me because I didn't think about it. It wasn't premeditative. I didn't have full consent of my will. It was a reaction. You follow? So as we're talking about mental illness and spouses who are verbally assaulting one another, you have to start to filter this way. I believe you do. It's the only way you're going to get through it. Now, I challenged this brother. I said, what are you doing for your wife, spiritually speaking, to help her see the error of her ways and the irrationality and the abusive tendency that it is for her? What are you doing spiritually? Are you calling on the full arsenal of God to help you in this situation? And you know what he said? No, I'm not. I said, you know what you need to do, brother? You need to fast for your wife for a full month. Every day, fast for her. You mean don't eat food for a full month? No, I mean skip a meal once a day and do it for love of your wife and for her conversion and transformation and healing. Do it for a month. I guarantee you at the end of that month, you will see a difference in your wife. I don't know what that difference will be, but as Jesus said to his apostles, some demons are only exercised through prayer and fasting. I said, you need to do this. You need to pray every day for your wife's healing, conversion, transformation. You need to fast once a day for 30 days. Report back to me in 30 days. I know there will be some change. Completely healed? I can't say that. But I know the power of God. And I know that he says, when he says his words, that he means them and that they're powerful and that they can change people's hearts and they can move mountains. And I said, you got to start doing this. You got to be on the offensive. You can't be a victim anymore. What are you doing for your marriage today? Ask yourself, everyone who's listening to me, driving in the car, wherever you're listening, what have you done for your marriage today? Have you prayed for your spouse? Have you died to yourself today? Have you fasted for your spouse? Have you done an act of love for your spouse, an act of joy for your spouse? Have you done something like that? If you haven't, you should. And I said to you, brother, dear brother who was struggling with this, I said, you need to not be a victim here. Because if you start talking victim first language, I'm a victim. I deserve better. And again, it's all I, me, selfish. You do deserve better. Let me just say that. You do deserve better. Okay? We all deserve to be treated well. However, when you start speaking that to yourself and that negative self-talk, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we start saying, no more, not on my watch. And we start to have this altruistic approach to somehow I'm going to right the wrong by ridding myself of this virus or toxicity in my life. And that's not marriage. You got to go on the offensive, and you have to call on this full arsenal of God through spiritual warfare and knowing your enemy, knowing that your enemy is going to accuse you and tell you lies, the father of lies, and you have to renounce those lies, and you have to say, no, I am going to offer this up. I am going to pray more. I am going to fast, and I am going to die to myself for the good of my spouse who's suffering right now, because in reality, they are suffering. Anyone that has mental illness is suffering. So the psychological warfare that you're dealing with has to be combated with the spiritual tactics. Put on the spiritual armor of God, and you will see change. When we come back after the second break, we'll go a little bit more deeply into how we do this on a more practical level and praying and be more deliberate about and intentional about our prayer life when it comes to our spouse. They surveyed spouses. When I come back, I'll tell you what the response was of how many actually pray for each other. So on this feast of St. Thomas More, let's call upon these martyrs of marriage for our marriages.
Your
Here's a special invitation from Women of Grace's Jeanette Bankovic-Williams.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jeanette, inviting you to join me and women from around the country for a weekend of formation, fellowship, and fun at our annual Women of Grace retreat at the breathtaking Malvern Retreat House during the weekend of July 13th through 15th. Our theme is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, and features fabulous speakers, Kathleen Beckman, Father Philip Scott, Jack Williams, Thomas K. Sullivan, and yours truly. The retreat includes Mass, Adoration, Confession, Talks, Reflection Time, a healing service, and some special surprises. It is preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar entitled Women, God's Special Weapon Against Evil with Kathleen Beckman, Susan Brinkman, and Father Philip. We are thrilled to offer you our very first Young Women of Grace one-day retreat on Saturday, July 14th. See you there. Visit womenofgrace.com for details or call 800-558-5452.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
All right, we are back. If you've been staying tuned to this station, this dial on your radio, you know we've been talking about difficult marriages on this feast of Saints Thomas More and John Fisher, martyrs for marriage. We're talking about dealing with difficult marriages, and I shared that there was a survey done not too long ago. I don't know who did the survey, but I heard it. They asked spouses, do you pray for one another? 80% of the spouses who responded to that survey said no. Whoa. How are we supposed to make marriage work if we're not praying for one another? Do you pray for our priest? You know, they're married to the church, you know. That's their bride. We're part of that. Do you pray for your priests? Most people probably aren't praying for their priests. When it comes to marriage, we got to pray for one another, especially when a particular spouse is going through a hardship, whether it's maybe a loss of job, maybe the husband is unemployed and you're just nagging him all the time because he can't hold down a job. And maybe there's issues there. There's a reason why he can't hold down a job. And maybe there's mental illness. Maybe there's other issues at play, disabilities. But maybe that hardship on him because he feels like a failure and you're reminding him that he's a failure is really, really causing more harm than good. You know, you're trying to encourage him. You're trying to stimulate him. You're trying to not encourage him. You're trying to nag him into doing something, I guess. Maybe that's a way of putting it. I don't know. But did you know that there's more women in the workplace today than there are men? Perhaps it's hard for a man to get a good, sustainable job because there's not many of them out there to provide for a family. And maybe he has to take part-time jobs, and maybe he has to be a jobber and go from job to job. And depending on the career and the line of work that he's in, you know, some people do that. Some people are bartenders. Some people are, you know, laborers who are carpenters, but they don't have the wherewithal to have their own business. They can't carry insurance, so they just kind of job around and take different jobs here and there. And that's a very unpredictable income kind of lifestyle. Nonetheless, I'm saying whatever the situation is, it's very easy as spouses to get down on one another. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands. Maybe your wife is very cold. Maybe after a delivery of a child, she's dealing with postpartum and she's just not interested in intimacy. And maybe you're being very hard on her for that and abusive to her and maybe very shaming to her. And maybe there's something much more deeper there psychologically. We can be really mean to one another. We need to pray more for one another. We need to pray for our spouse, who's truly a gift in our lives, even with the mental illness, there's still a gift. It's God's way of sanctifying you. Call to holiness is your marriage. That's where your daily bread is in your marriage if you're a married person. In the gospel today, according to Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." So when we look at marriage, we have to see it as a great treasure, even when with the hardships. And that when we endure those hardships with kindness and mercy and compassion and forgiveness, that we are indeed storing up treasures in heaven, that we are gaining supernatural merit for those things. And we don't earn heaven. It's a free gift. It's God's free gift to us that is truly ours through our faith and the grace of his gift of coming into the world and dying for us. It's truly his gift. We're all coated in that blood. However, in the cooperative element of our life, whereby we work out our faith in fear and trembling, as St. Paul says, that there's this tension at play whereby we can choose God or we can choose self. And this is the great battle on earth, the battle for souls. The devil wants to take souls with him, and God wants to redeem the souls of his people, right? And that's only done through Christ. And so when we have this treasure on earth, which is marriage, and we store up our treasure on earth all the good times, all the good experiences, that this is what marriage, I want to create a safety net for myself with my marriage whereby I don't have these problems. And so I'm storing up all my treasure on earth and not in heaven. Because when the bad times come, that's when supernatural merit comes. That's when we win souls for Christ. That's when we can die to self. That's when we can grow in virtue. And we can truly find our glory in the knowledge that God is faithful and that God is pleased when we suffer with him on this earth, and that we store up great treasure in heaven when we suffer in our marriage. We truly do. We truly are winning souls for Christ through our witness. What a treasure. What a treasure. Can I say this? Can I be so bold to say when you suffer in your marriage, it's a treasure. It's a treasure waiting for you in heaven. That maybe in this life you'll see change and you'll see conversion through your suffering and your silent witness at times. But he goes on to say, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. In other words, if we look at our spouse with loving eyes and not with anger and resentment and bitterness, then that whole body will be filled with light. In other words, I love you. I forgive you. I know this is not who you truly are. It's not how God created them to be. God didn't create a man to be a tyrant. Have they become that by virtue of a variety of things? Sure. But that's not, we're created in his image and likeness. So we're not created to be evil and a miser and a crab and a difficult person to live with. We're not created to be like that. But if your eye of your body is pure and is sound, you're going to see things purely and soundly. But if your eye is bad, Christ says, your whole body will be in darkness. In other words, if you're looking at people with contempt and always assuming the worst of them and always assuming the worst of your spouse, he said this, I can't believe he said this. I'll never forgive you for that. How many people have said this? I'll never forgive you for that. What a tragic statement. If Christ can forgive us for our sins, how can we ever say we cannot forgive somebody? No. No way. Never let that come out of your mouth. But a lot of people have said it. And a lot of people have moved on and they've received annulments and all that stuff. And the church is merciful. And thanks be to God for the tribunal. And again, spiritual maturity. And people probably don't know what they're saying yes to. But I have to say, do those people who've gotten those annulment, have they learned that process? Have they learned now what they're saying yes to if they get remarried again? Did they learn it? By going to the tribunal and the annulment process, did they then come to realize what the great sacrament is? Or was it just a get-out-of-jail-free card? And I don't mean that in a way to be insensitive here. But I'm just saying, have you learned? Now you're entering into marriage for the first time because the first marriage was null. And do you know what you're doing this time? And how many people have divorced a second time after an annulment? I'm sure it's many. Because they didn't learn. Because they didn't want to learn. And the challenge to us today is the sufferings that come and the pain that comes and the problems that come are a gift, as Christ says. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? You can't let light in if you're constantly looking through the lens of, I deserve better. So when the next time your spouse beats you up, the next time you beat your spouse up verbally, and I don't mean beat you up physically. Again, I keep qualifying that. Because get out of that relationship. If your spouse is physically abused, you need to get out of that relationship. I'm not saying get divorced. I'm just saying protect yourself, of course. But the emotional and neurological abuse that we do to one another, and we all do it. No one's innocent of this. We all do it at times. We're all mean. We're all unkind. And we all say things we shouldn't. So the next time that happens, verbally, united to Christ, I offer this up to you, Jesus. I suffer with you on the cross. When I feel unjustly accused or unjustifiably, torn down by my spouse, united to the cross, united to Christ, just like Thomas of More united his suffering for the good of the church. Look at the blood poured out by Thomas and John Fisher and the fruit that brought through Pope Benedict XVI's reign as pontiff, the reunion of part of the Anglican Church. Don't you think that the redemptive suffering of Thomas More 500 years ago, 400 and some years ago, was part of that? You'd be a fool to say that God wouldn't use that blood spilled for marriage for the good of his church and his people. No doubt the intercession of Thomas More has ushered in some of that Anglican reunion. So praise God for that. And God is always faithful, even in the small matters, right? So as you deal with these things, and maybe it's just a minor word or look, maybe a nasty look. I've given nasty looks to people recently on the road. I gave some nasty looks. We can be very hurtful in our just demeanor, our countenance. And so we have to be mindful of that and how we're just, we're prone to sin. And none of us are free from it. We're not exonerated because we're Catholic or we go to church every day. What was Father Larry was saying? That the kids were saying, I wish Mommy was as nice in the home as she is at church. Or I wish Daddy was as nice in the home as he is at church. I mean, what an indictment, that we're not taking forth. The Life Team Mass, years ago, they used to say, the Mass must be lived. Let us go forth to love and serve God. That the Mass must be lived. So if we go to Mass and you don't carry that forward in your life and you don't live the Mass, you don't live the joy which is in the faith and the summit of our faith, the Eucharist and all that is for us, Christ living within you, dwelling within you. You have no life within you if you don't have Christ in you, in the Eucharist. You don't take that into the world. You don't bless the world with that. What a waste. What a waste. You don't bless your marriage. Every Sunday should be an opportunity to draw strength so that you can get through the difficult times of the week. Hopefully you go to Mass more than once a week, but let's say you can only get to Mass once a week. Well, draw on that strength, that fortification. I call it spiritual vitamins and nutrition, right? You need to fortify. So why do we take vitamins? We take vitamins so that we can fortify our body so it can stay healthy. Especially when we, want to fight off, some sort of a virus or bacteria or something that maybe is floating around. We want to be strong. We want our immune system to be strong. Well, you got to be spiritually strong. And the only way you do that is by getting your spiritual vitamins, by going to Mass, by praying daily, by listening to Catholic radio. I mean, that's spiritual nutrition, right? When was the last time you thought about EWTN and Holy Spirit Radio, a spiritual nutrition that helps you get through the bad times? I know it's a great light in my life when I need a a word or, and many of you know this, that's why you tune in. But some of us take it for granted, you know, okay, that was nice. We don't recognize the gift that it is. So I encourage you to support Holy Spirit Radio. I encourage you to support EWTN and keep these wonderful airwaves with this message of hope. And you know, I couldn't be on here today talking about these things if we didn't have this station. And perhaps one of you today needed to hear this. Maybe one of you are dealing with a difficult marriage and maybe thinking about leaving the marriage. Don't. Stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. Pray more. Fast more. Mortify yourself. Die to self. Stay in there, brother. Hang in there, sister. It's going to get better. It may not get better in this life, but you know one day it'll be certainly better. And your reward's going to be great. And as the scripture says, everyone will be rewarded according to what they have done. Don't you think that good and loving God are going to look upon your life and the journey that you had and the difficult marriage that you had and said, well done, good and faithful servant. You hung in there. You persevered. You prayed. Your reward is my union with you forever, eternally. I know it sounds like a nice pie in the sky, good thought, but you got to think these things or else you're just going to give up. You're just going to give up. So brothers, I'll be praying for you. Sisters, I'll be praying for you. Pray for me. Pray for my marriage. Pray for all difficult marriages. Pray for all marriages. Pray for holy marriages. My niece is getting married this Saturday. My nephew, rather, is getting married to a wonderful young lady this Saturday. So we'll witness a young couple getting ready for the sacrament of marriage and witness that love. And knowing that our prayers will help them along their journey. And all your prayers for any marriage you've ever attended. God bless you till we talk again.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.